clothes, and he said, "Good morning." And this widowed lady didn't really have time to be bothered and didn't have much trust in anyone. So with the door half cracked open, she said, "What do you want?" And he said, "Well, ma'am, would you happen to have a piece of bread for a poor panhandler like me, for I am hungry?" And she said, "No, I am a widow lady. I have no bread for you, barely enough sustenance for me." And as she was about to slam the door, he put his foot in the way. And he said, "Wait, before you shut the door." He pulled out a shiny nail out of his pocket. And he said, "Would you happen to have some water and a kettle so that I can make us both some nail soup?" Her face wrinkled, her bushy eyebrows flickered some, and she said, "Nail soup?" He said, "I've made the finest nail soup with a little bit of water and salts and pepper and a kettle. And I can make some fine nail soup for both of us if you would just happen to give me some water in the kettle." So curiosity got the best of her and let him in suspiciously and gave him some water and a kettle, a pinch of salt and a pinch of pepper, and he put it all together. And he sat back, kicked his feet on the table, and waited for the water to boil. As it began to boil, he chatted away. He then got up and took that ladle like the finest of chefs and began to swirl it. Took a little bit of that soup, blew it, and tasted it and said, "Oof, this is the best nail soup I've ever tasted. But you know what would make it better? A piece of carrot. Oh, I used to make this nail soup all the time. And it tastes good as it is with a pinch of salt and a pinch of pepper. But add a piece of carrot and it'd be the finest nail soup ever." And she scratched her head and she thought, I don't know, there might be a piece of carrot that I left in the garden. I'll go and check. So away she went, found a carrot. He washed it, peeled it, chopped it up, raked it into the pot. And then he said, "Ooh, this did the trick." And he did this way so that the smell and the aroma could reach her. And he said, "This tastes so good." He said, "But you know, as you hear the clanking and the clanking of the nail in this pot of boiling water, and you smell the carrot with the metal, with the iron nail, what would make it taste better and smell even more would be a hunk of an onion." And she remembered that she had in the cupboard an onion, so she reluctantly gave it to him. He chopped it up, placed it in the soup, and immediately the aroma started wafting through the kitchen. And her digestive juices began to be released, and she was now hungry, anticipating the flavors of that nail soup. And he said, "I've made this soup one time in London in the house of a nobleman, and he absolutely loved this nail soup. That fragrance of onion and carrot mixed with the nail just wafting through." She was eagerly awaiting to taste that. He said, "Yes, sirree, but in that nobleman's house, that soup had a potato in it too." And she said, "Oh, I'm so hungry now that I can just imagine what it would taste like with a potato." And she didn't want to admit, but she did have a potato in the cellar. So she went after that potato and brought it to him. And on the way, as she was coming up with the potato, he said, "And how about some salt pork? Would you happen to have some salt pork?" And they had the finest snail soup made out of potatoes, onions, carrots, salt pork, and bread that she so graciously offered. And they both sat down and enjoyed that snail soup. You know, she was very determined at the very beginning of this story that she didn't have any physical possessions to share with this panhandler. She was determined that he would not even come into her house. She was extremely determined not to share any of her goods with this man. But when she found out that he had something that would benefit both her and him, little by little, he was able to work his way, and she gave in little by little. She compromised little by little. This happens to physical possessions, but it also happens with spiritual things. People surrender the truth in just this way. Rarely do men give away the truth with callous and reckless abandon. It's little by little. We bargain it away inch by inch, little by little, bit by little bit. Bargain it away inch by inch, teeny morsel at a time. A more obvious crook might never have gotten through the door to begin with. You see, the devil travels the streets and highways. He doesn't ask for much. He just asks for a little bit of our time. The devil doesn't ask for us to give him everything at once. He just wants a little bit of a compromise. And the scripture really points this out. In Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 14, we find this young Jewish boy sitting at the king's table with wine and food that he knew that he should not drink and that he should not eat, because it was not what a child of God should consume. A child of God should not drink. So what Daniel and his friends had done before they even arrived to that table was that they had resolved not to partake, not even to do a wine tasting. Have you heard about those things that go on today? A wine tasting. I'm not going to get drunk. I'm not even going to buy the wine. I'm just going to go on the circuit and do a little bit of wine tasting and cheese and salami and whatever else they give us. Daniel and his friends decided, they resolved, I ain't going to do it. And they said to the king's officers, we're not going to do it. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Don't be fooled. Don't be pulled in by these words and empty deceit. You know, it was the Apostle Paul said that You fool yourself when you say that that I'm strong enough to resist temptation. No, you're not that strong. And you can notice it in your own self when you start hanging around a new group of friends, a new group of business partners. You start talking like them eventually. You start using their words, picking up their habits. Hebrews 11:25, speaking about Moses, how he chose to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of life. And instead of being called king or prince, instead of enjoying the position of an Egyptian royalty, knowing that that would not last forever, he decided to suffer for the cause of God, knowing that there would be an eternal reward. 1 John 2 and verse 16, For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from this world. I encourage you as we go from today, midweek, and finish off the week, that we resolve to be honest, full of integrity, to pick ourselves up and recharge with the Word of God, with prayer, with songs, and meditating upon God's Word. To be upright. To connect with God for righteousness. To represent God. To be Christ-like. And not give in to the world, not even one bit. And not compromise the truth. For Christ's sake. Think about this as together we stand and sing.